Good morning, church. So good to be together with you. Glad to have you. If you're visiting with us, we're extremely glad to have you. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, you found it. If you're interested in truth and scripture, that's what we offer. And I want you to know that. Glad to have everyone here. This morning, as you can see, I titled the lesson, Raising Faithful Children. And one of the first thoughts you may have, my children are grown. They're off. Think their children, your grandchildren. But I want to tell you, what we talk about this morning applies even if your children are gone from home. Because you will never stop being a parent till the day you leave this earth. You're still a father. You're still a mother. And the things that we look at this morning are going to apply even as your children are older. And I pray that you can grasp it and you'll see it. As we begin, I want you to look at 2 Timothy. I want to start here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Give you a minute to find it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look with me at verse 16. The scriptures teach, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture, old and new. God breathed it. These scriptures passed through the lips of God. They were given to man. Man wrote them down, but they came from God. All scripture is inspired by God. And notice what he says. And is profitable for teaching. For reproof, for correction. For training in righteousness. All scripture God inspired, it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, to convince people this is right. All scripture is for correction, to get people on the right track, to make sure they're not off track, and for training in righteousness, this is the proper way to live. And I read that because where we're going from here, if we're going to talk about raising faithful children, I want us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you to see some principles here as we go through. Israel has just been set free from bondage. They've been under slavery to the Egyptians for 430 long years. They were abused and mistreated, and God, by His mighty hand, has set them free. And as they have left Egypt, here's what Moses tells them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. These are the commandments that the Lord asked me and told me to teach you. And notice what he says about those. He says, their commandments, the statutes, and judgments. A statute are the things, those are the principal teachings of God. Then we talk about a judgment. These are the judicial things because of the commandments of God. This is what happens when you don't hold to God's teachings. Continue on. Look at verse 2. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all of His statutes, His commandments, which I command you today, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Notice He says, for your son and your grandsons. I want you to understand that it starts in one place. Fear the Lord. That is exactly what's missing from our children and our young people today. There is no fear of God. There is no respect. There is no reverence of God. There's nothing at all to fear of God, because people don't believe God's going to do what He says He's going to do. And Moses reminds them that you need to keep these things all the days of your life. And it applies to you. It applies to your son and your grandson, He says. Continue on, verse 3. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. It will be well with you. When you lose fear of the Lord, you don't care about what He teaches as a commandment. You don't care about His statutes, the principles He stands on, and you don't care about His judicial teachings. Guess what? It's not going to go real well with you in your life. Why do you think so many people, especially our young people, our young families, why are so many people miserable? Why are so many people angry? Why are so many people upset? It's not going well with them, and there's a reason for that. Because people aren't listening to the teachings, the statutes, and the judgments of God. There is no fear of God before the eyes of people. And so He warns them. Look at verse 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We learned that from the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one Lord, there is one God. There's not multiple, and He's not shifting shadows. He doesn't go over here for a while and there. He's the one that instructs. He's the one that teaches, and His commandments are judicial. There will be consequences if you don't listen to Him. Verse 4. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Have you seen that before, heard that? In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus states the same thing to His disciples. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Why love Him with all of your heart? A person's heart is the center of their being. All of their thinking, all of their actions, all of their decisions come from the heart. And if you don't love God with all of your heart, there's not going to be any fear of the Lord in your life. With all of your soul. What's your soul? Your soul is you. That's the whole you. Your soul is this person that lives forever. It's the eternal part of you. That's the part that will continue on. Your soul is vital in this. And the things need to be a part of your soul. And with all of your might, your energy, your strength, the things that you exert for your life to go after. You know, a lot of times, parents exert all of their strength towards sports. And that's where they take their children. They exert all of their energy toward pleasures. All of their might, all of their soul, and all of their heart can be set on things that are not God, but these other things will consume, and we'll see more of that in just a moment. So guess what all of your heart, your soul, and your strength is going to be given toward? It needs to be centered on God and God alone. You need to know what His commandments are so it goes well with you. Do you really want things to go well with your children? Your grandchildren? What in the world are you instructing them in? Let's continue moving. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. Diligently. You're supposed to put effort toward here. And if you're not putting effort toward this, what are you diligently teaching your children? And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What does that sound like? As a parent, what does that sound like? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you get up, what's the point? Your children need to see in you that God is the most vital thing in all of your heart, in all of your soul, in all of your might. And you need to be talking to your children about the things of God every single day of their life. Sadly to say, a lot of parents in their life, the only time they ever talked about God is when they were angry with their children and they're trying to get their children back in line, and then they start quoting the scripture at them. And it turns them off. They need to see you as a parent, as a grandparent, that the things of God are the most important things in your life. They need to hear it from you. And even now your children are grown, they've gone and they've started their own families, and they may have given you some grandchildren. Do your children and your grandchildren know that the Lord your God, I talk about Him. They see Him in me, and they know our home is gathered around that. Teaching our children. We need to teach our children these things, and they need to see it in us. They need to hear it from us. And not just on a Sunday. Teach them diligently, He says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, "For out of the heart the mouth speaks." Whatever fills your heart, well, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, whatever is filling your heart, that's what you will talk to your children, your family about. So today we need to ask ourselves as parents, what do your children hear from you? What do they see in you? What do they know from you? What about your grandchildren? And now that your children are off on their own, do you ever try to teach them anything of what the value is of fearing the Lord? Of respecting God? Revering God? That there are some judgments that will come from the Lord if you're not careful. That God will protect our way if we'll walk with them. We'll walk with Him. Teach them diligently to your sons, to your grandson, and all of those that are involved. Verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your foreheads, parents. What does he mean, frontals? A sign on your hand. You know, back here, all scripture is inspired by God. Back here, you know what they would do? They would have little boxes containing scripture. They could put them on the around their hand. They would have them on a band across their head. And these little boxes would contain scripture. When they went to prayer, when they went to study, they could take those scriptures out and they could read them and they could know, this is what the Lord expects of me. And he said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to have them bound on your hand. I want them to have them on the front of the lobes. They need to be in your mind. Love the Lord with all your, Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Continue on. Let's read verse 9 into 10. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why would you put the things of God on your doorposts and on your house? You ever thought about that? Question, parents. Really, what does the Lord mean to us as parents? What does the world mean to us as parents? And what are they seeing? What are they learning? There's where the failure comes a lot of times. I want my children to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord in all things. It's up to you whether or not you're faithful to the Lord in all things. Whether or not you're teaching them the things of God and showing He means and His teachings mean everything to me and to this home. Let's continue on. Write them on the doorpost. I just read ahead a little bit. I want you to move on down with me to verse 20. And look at what he says here in Deuteronomy 6:20. When your son asks you in time to come, see, they're small children. Sometimes they don't understand a lot, but they see a lot. When your sons ask you in time to come, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord God you commanded you? There they are. What do these testimonies mean? What do these teachings mean? What do these statutes, these commands of the Lord? And what do all these things mean, these judgments? What's this judicial thing about? They may not understand as children, but you're able, and one day they're going to ask you, why do we do what we do? Why do we go through what we go through? And so he tells us, verse 21, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up from Egypt. 22, moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us here to give us this land which he has sworn to our fathers. So the Lord God commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival. As it is today, it's for our good, and notice, for our survival. Teach them why we do what we do. That's what we're going to be looking at Titus in just a moment. It's going to be our New Testament application to this. You know, a lot of times people say, and I've heard this a lot within the church, people say, well, you know, I don't know what's happened to my kids. You know, growing up, I took them to church all the time. That doesn't mean anything. They're learning what they see in your life. There's a lot of people brought their kids to church, but God was not the most important thing in their life. And children can see through it. And yes, it's important to bring them to worship. Yes, it's important to teach them the vitalness of the body of Christ. These people belong to God, and you need to have a relationship with them and treat them in the right way. A lot of parents don't do that. There's no teaching or training. There's more to it than just taking them to worship. They need to see an active part on your part. For years, I have watched different times where parents would just drive up and drop their kids off for class. They would leave and they'd come back later. What's the message you're sending to your children? Study is good for you. It's not good for me. You're not teaching them love the Lord your God. You're not teaching them His statutes, His testimonies, His commands and His judgments. No, they see through that. We need to be raising faithful children. And they need to see it in us today. I tell you what, it is so great to see when grandparents, they'll go and pick up their grandchildren to make sure they come to worship. To give them a little bit of the insight that it means something to the grandparent. And it needs to mean something to those grandchildren. They see it and they'll learn it in you. Let's continue on if we could, please. Look at verse. I want to go to Deuteronomy 11. But before I go over to 11, before you go over there, I want to teach you something else. I keep saying parents. Raising faithful children fall directly on the shoulders of all fathers. That's what Ephesians 6:4 tells us. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If a father is not showing humility and allowing the things of the Lord to instruct him, they're not going to train their children. They're not going to have any discipline in the lives of their children. It falls directly on the shoulders of the fathers. And that's why the father has such great responsibility in the body of Christ before God. Fathers, it's up to us to do this. And we need to be talking about it as we walk along the way. We need to be instructing our children, our grandchildren, when we get up and when we lie down, and no matter what we're doing in life, they need to hear the things of God. Why? I want them to revere and have some fear of the Lord, that there are consequences if we don't follow and hear His voice. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, I jumped over to Deuteronomy 11. You can go ahead and read 7, 8, 9, 10, and into 11. Moses will continue to speak these same things over and over. He will impress them on the parents. And you can go read that. But look in chapter 11. Look at verse 16. Look at the warning here. Beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. What's the warning, fathers? What's the warning, parents? What's the warning to children? Don't let your hearts be deceived. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Don't let anybody deceive you so that you'll go serve other gods. You know what other gods are? False teachings. What do you think's full of out here? Most of the time, parents are not teaching their children. There is one faith. We saw that in Ephesians also. One faith. One teaching that came from the Lord. Are you teaching your children that? Your grandchildren that? You've got all these false notions that are going on, and it ought to alert our attention. We've got hundreds of different religions from the same Word of God, from one God. That's not right. Something is off. And so we allow our children to grow up, and we'll just let them go on their way, and their hearts get deceived, and they start serving other gods, not the God of Scripture, not the God of truth. We need to know it ourselves, and we need to be convinced of it ourselves. Come over to Deuteronomy 30, and he continues repeating this also over and over. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 19. Look at this charge. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. What does he set before the people? Here's the way of life, and here's the way of death. You better choose life. This needs to have some meaning to you. You need to have some fear of the Lord in your heart. It needs to have meaning, and it needs to be on your lips. It needs to be in your heart, and you need to be talking about it all the time. Here's what I've set before you, life and death. Verse 20, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him, for this is your life and length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord has sworn to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Here it is. God set it before them. See, we don't see that. How much time do you find yourself seeking the things of God, the truths of God in His Word? That you can take them and you can set them right before your children and your grandchildren and say, this is life and this is death. You want a judicial judgment? You don't follow the things of God. You don't listen to the voice of God, there will be a curse in that. And you'll lose your soul in the end. You want that? This is a matter of life and death. Choose life. And that's what all of this is. All Scripture is God-inspired. It is profitable for training, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Parents, we need to get a hold of that. We need to believe that. This is your life. Not hunting, not playing ball, not any other thing. That's not your life. If it is, just watch and you watch what happens in your family. And you're going to see it. Now, I'm not saying that to bring any guilt on anybody. If your children have grown up and you realize I have failed in that, start now. Start trying to help them now to see it so that they can be saved in the end. Let me make a New Testament application. Come over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. And you're going to see some of these same teachings right here. Colossians chapter 4, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Look at what he says here. Therefore, if you, mothers and fathers, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Have you been raised up with Jesus? What do you need to be seeking? What needs to be foremost in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in the strength of your life? Keep seeking the things of God. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Excuse me, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Listen, you just set your mind on the things of the earth. You give them all these other alternatives to do. They'll lose your soul. You'll grieve. But guess what I don't need to be doing? Setting my mind on the things of the earth. I need to set my mind on things above. Verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What have you done? Have you died? Where is your life? If you've died, if you've been baptized into Jesus, you've died with Jesus. And your life is hidden with Him. Then what should you be seeking? Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. Remember He told them back there, God in these commandments is our life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Do you want God to be revealed with you or to reveal you with Him? One way. Keep seeking the things of God. Keep teaching them to your children, to your grandchildren. Keep instructing. Show how vital all of this is. How important it is. You know, you want your children to make it, don't you? They're not going to make it just by you ignoring it, by you not putting the things in your heart. You can, well, I fail now. It's nothing I can do. Why not? Are you saying that I'm not going to seek things above? I'm not going to seek things at the right hand of Christ with God? Is that what you're saying? You got to start somewhere sometime, and you need to take it serious now. Now come over to Titus. That was read a while ago. Titus chapter 2. Just like they came out of the land of Egypt and they were set free, and when your sons ask you, what does all this mean? Guess what you need to be having an answer for? Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Are you really saved in Jesus? Then guess what? What's the grace of God in salvation done for you? Verse 12. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. What's salvation supposed to mean? As a parent, it's to instruct you to deny ungodliness. Teach your children ungodliness will cost you. That's the judicial thing, justice. Worldly desires. Oh, I tell you what, you got a soccer game today. Yeah, let's go to that soccer game today. Worldly desires. What are they hearing and seeing in us? What are we teaching them? Salvation has appeared, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. To do what instead? And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Have some sense about you. Where are a lot of these other things taking our children, taking our grandchildren? They're not taking us to God. There needs to be some sensibility here. There's nothing wrong if your children are active in something. But you know what? With sensibility. It's not the most important thing of your life. With some righteousness. do what is the best thing in the eyes of God and how to live godly in this present age. They need to be an example to their friends. And they'll learn it from us as parents, as you're an example to them. Continue on, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. What are you looking for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the blessed hope that's coming from Jesus? When Jesus comes back, what's going to happen? Everything that you've desired, everything you've lived for, everything you've died for because of Christ, all that hope comes into reality. And you'll be thrilled with it. And you need to teach your children the same thing. You need to be looking for this blessed hope that we have in Jesus. That's what our family does. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He gave himself for us to redeem us, bought us back from all the sin and ungodliness. We need to be looking to that. Because you see, not everybody's going to be with the Lord in the end. Not everybody, when they pass from this earth, are going to God. No, there must be truth involved. There must be teachings involved, commandments involved, understanding the judicial things that come from God. We need to be teaching and training our children. This is what it means to be faithful in the Lord. And as they grow up and the years go by, and you look at your children, what a blessing to see them being faithful, to see them being serious because you're serious, to see them imitating God and imitating Jesus. It just doesn't happen. It takes effort. It takes time. But it takes a humble heart from the parent. I'm so grateful for mothers who take their children by the hand and try to lead them down the path of righteousness when the father has little to no interest. But fathers, we now have an opportunity to turn some things around and think about what in the world are we practicing in our lives? What are our children seeing in me? What am I training them and teaching them? What's the most important thing that they need to hear from you as a father, as a grandfather? They need to see it. We need to see it. And I pray that that's what you're working for. I pray that that's what you're dedicated to in all the things of your life. And that's why he started back in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God is one God. And I don't want you to get taken captive by other gods and your heart become deceived. It's devastating eternally. Let's be committed as we walk away today. I'm going to be more diligent toward the Word of God. I'm going to set my mind on the things above. I'm going to keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated, so I can bring these things to my children and to my grandchildren. And they can walk away and say, my mother, my father, were very dedicated to the teachings of God. What a blessing. What a blessing to hear that from your children. And what a blessing we need to give our children.